If you would stand with me first of all to Malachi, the third chapter and verse 16. We're going to read that verse, but then also Luke 24 and verse 14. And the Lord willing, we'll consider these two verses in further preparation for the observance of the Lord's Supper later today. So first of all, Malachi, the third chapter and verse 16, but then particularly Luke 24. And verse 14 following. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that fought upon his name. And then Luke 24 and verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Dear congregation, it is evident as we look at the scriptures that in heaven God's people will be talking with the Lord and considering what he has done. And in further, they will talk amongst themselves what he has done for them in the gospel. In Revelation 5 verse 12 we read, "Worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing." And there we're given a little insight of what is taking place now. And we are reminded that in eternity we will think of what the Lord has done for us. And what a blessing it will be one day to be in the presence of the Lord, to rejoice in him and to offer praise, to talk of what he has done for us, or to be there, and how our hearts will be warmed, and we will be so thankful for him. Well, as we consider heaven and the future, here in Malachi, we are encouraged to talk together of the things of the Lord. We don't have to wait to heaven. We're encouraged to do so here upon earth, that we might know a little foretaste of heaven. So in Malachi we have the encouragement, in Luke 24 we have the example. The encouragement and then the example. Yes, those two were sad on the road to Emmaus. They were confused and their faith appeared small, but they were talking. They were talking over what had taken place. They were talking particularly about their beloved Saviour. It's good to talk, particularly on the Lord's days, but then also in the week, of what the Lord has done for us. It's good to talk of the Lord Jesus before the observance of the Lord's Supper, but then afterwards as well, to think again, to talk of what he has done for us and the blessings we have received and the hope we have. So in Malachi, we are given the encouragement to talk. In Luke 24, we are given the example. Well, without any further introduction, I'd like us to come to these words in Malachi, the third chapter and verse 16, but then also Luke 24. And bringing these two verses together, I'd like us to consider, first of all, God-fearers. Now come with me to Luke 24 and verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Now it is plain that these two feared the Lord. They had a new heart. How do we know that? Well, it was warned by the Lord Jesus Christ as he opened up the scriptures. We note that in verse 32. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" It's evident. Here were two God-fearers. Here were two believers walking in the evening tide of this day to Emmaus. Two God-fearers. What do we read in Malachi 3 verse 16? "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Even the third chapter of Malachi, we have first of all the promise of the coming of Christ and his forerunner, John the Baptist. We then have a rebuke to the Jews regarding their sin, particularly that of sacrilege, and then a call to reform with accompanying promises. And then from verse 16 we have an account of the godly and the precious promises concerning them. They that feared the Lord, this filial fear, this awe in their hearts, as we shall consider in a moment. So few in this country have this true awe of God in their hearts. Few in Parliament have a true fear, but also so few in the street. Some pay lip service. They give lip service to the Lord and his word, but there isn't that true fear within their hearts. Our Lord said in Mark 7, verse 6, "Well have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." There's an outward lip service, an honouring, but their heart is far from me. And how up to date that is today. Sadly today, there are those gathered in churches who give outward honour. They give lip service, but their heart is far from the Lord. And the Lord knows it. There's no true fear of God in the heart. How little fear there is of the Lord in this nation. We can think back to times of war, and prior to that, God was spoken of more often. And there was more a general respect for him and for his word. But it's so different today. Yes, in particular places in the world, it's not the case, but here in this country, so few have this fear of the Lord. But what do we read here? Then they that feared the Lord. There are those. And there are those today who have this fear of the Lord. Now what is this fear? Well, let me say firstly, it is different from what we call a slavish fear. When we think of what we call a slavish fear, it is a dread of danger or punishment. Children here this morning, you remember those shepherds, when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, were told this, they were sore afraid. That was a slavish fear. There was a dread. Were they about to perish? Were they about to enter eternity? They were sore afraid. There was this dread of danger. Remember Felix, who, having heard Paul preach, became very fearful. In Acts 14, verse 25, we're told that Felix trembled after Paul reasoned concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. There was this trembling. There was this slavish fear. He soon sought to put it out of his mind. He said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." There are those who are momentarily plunge into fear, but they seek to put it out of their mind. They don't want to talk on. They don't want to seriously consider that God is just and that he will deal with the unrepentant. A slavish fear, a fear of danger, a fear of something else. I used to have a fear of a particular council estate in Totten. We used to walk to church in the morning, and we used to go past sometimes this council estate. I liked to go on the other side of the road, on the footpath there. But I had this fear, because it was a rough council estate. After a couple of years, I got a paper round, and where was I given? This very council estate. And I thought, well, I must do it. And I would go down certain paths, very fearful. I would quickly go, put it through the letterbox as quietly as I could, so that the people didn't come out, or particularly the dog didn't come out. I was fearful of danger, a slavish fear. Sometimes some are very fearful of the dark. or some wild beast, like a wolf, when it howls out in America, some are plunging to fear. So we think then of a slavish fear, a dread, a danger, or punishment. And when we think of one who has this fear of punishment in view of Scripture, such a fear, though not good, in itself can be used by the Holy Ghost in the conversion of a sinner. And we see that on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked. They were fearful. Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that men and women today would be pricked in their hearts and cry out for mercy. I need thee. I'm considering punishment. I'm considering judgment to come. I need thee. Oh, that even that would take place today. There would be the conviction of sin. But then that there will be men and women, boys and girls, led to see the suitableness of Christ. So we thought of a slavish fear, but that's not what Malachi is speaking of here. Now often people think when you read of fear, well, it's a slavish fear, but the word fear is used in another sense. What we see in Malachi is this filial fear, this awe, particularly in the word this revere, this great respect, a godly awe of God in the soul. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, a holy affection, an awe. Richard Elaine writes, the Puritan, to fear God is to have the awe of God abiding upon the heart. There is this awe of God within, this deep respect. And so we read in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Not a dread of punishment, but this awe of him, this great respect. Now this fear, this awe of him, is not found within by nature. It is put within by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. We see this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 24, verse 7, we read, And I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart. And then we read in Jeremiah 32, verse 14, And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. He gives a new heart, and in that new heart is this fear, this awe of him. There's respect. There's this godly fear. The heart has been opened. Faith has been put within. One is found looking to the Lord. There's love. There's affection. And there's this godly fear. Then they that feared the Lord. And the Lord looks down and sees here those that have this awe of him within. And he looks in up, down on other places and sees such as well. Now those who have this awe of him in their heart further have this respect for his authority and his commands. It's evident. In Deuteronomy 10 verse 12 we read, And now Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You see there, it's evident if one fears the Lord, there's love, there's respect as well. You remember Abraham, he was tested, and it was so evident that he had a respect for God and his authority and word. Genesis 22 verse 12, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. It was seen by the Lord. Do we possess such a fear within? And it's evident in our lives. We're seeking to obey him. We're seeking to keep his commands. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, we read, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commands. For this is the whole duty of man. It's bound up in our duty, isn't it? We fear him and we keep his commandments. Remember Noah? It was evident that he was a man of faith who had this fear within. In Hebrews 11 verse 7 we read, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. There were those in his day who mocked Noah and mocked the Lord, but he had a respect and he obeyed the Lord. And he built that ark. People laughed at him. Why are you building this ark? But he had a respect for God. People may laugh at you, but you have this respect for God and you seek to do that which is right. Consider Noah. He looked to the Lord. He feared God and he got on with that important work. And so we must look to the Lord. Here is a congregation at the end of this church year. And we again have this awe in our heart and we get on with the work. We're to live in the fear of God. Were these two on the road to Emmaus? They feared the Lord. And in Malachi we read of those that fear the Lord. And are we not thankful? In every generation, and it always will be, there will be those who fear the Lord. And what a blessing in this area. We are the people who fear the Lord. Oh, walk in the fear of God and seek to cultivate a great awe of God within. Meditate upon him. Meditate upon his attributes, his greatness. We began this morning by considering the greatness of God. Does that not cultivate and encourage a godly awe within? Consider what he has done for you. Oh, to be in awe of him more and more is an aid to us walking in this world. God fears. But let's consider, secondly, leading on, godly conversation. Those who fear the Lord will be known from time to time at least for talking in a spiritual way. Let's return to Luke chapter 24 and verse 14. Think of these two, one was Cleopas, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. They were talking. What a glorious day, what a wonderful day it was. The day of resurrection, on which our Lord rose victoriously from the grave. Death could not keep him. What a wonderful and glorious day. Well, here's the day was drawing on. Two made their way to Emmaus. And as they went, they talked together. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, if you go down to verse 19 through to verse 24, here we see a little further what they were talking about. They talked about the Lord, how he'd been treated, condemned to death, crucified. They talked of what they had hope in and believed. Verse 21, that we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were talking about that. They were talking also concerning the woman and what they had seen. And then also that Peter and John had come, where they were talking over these things. Their conversation was on these things. Dear congregation, it is good to talk, particularly of spiritual things. Now we can talk about other things, and it's lawful to do so. Some of us attended a wedding the other Saturday. We talked about it. It was a day of joy. It was good, wasn't it? We can talk about the weather. And we talk about the bright, sunny days. But we need to be careful when we talk about the weather. that we don't become dull when we talk about the weather, like on those dull, cloudy days. We can talk about the weather, but let's seek to be mindful of the Lord. The Lord has given us this bright, sunny day. And when it rains, after a long time of drought, we're thankful for the Lord's goodness in giving rain. We can talk about holidays, and that's a good thing. You children here, we love to talk about holidays. You look forward to a holiday, to happy times, times with your friends. It's good to talk about such things, isn't it? Sometimes food, we talk about the things we like, the roast dinner, the puddings, the chocolate cakes. We talk about these things, and there's nothing wrong, is there? It's good to talk. It's good to see that good conversation. However, our talk most of all in life should be about spiritual things. Even when we talk about lawful things, to try and bring it back to spiritual things. To be heavenly minded. Remember those words in Colossians 3? If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. Set your affections. Oh, for the heart to be drawn to things above. Particularly on the Lord's Day. Let us seek to speak of spiritual things. We have the example here. Yes, we can talk about certain other things. I often think of Moses and Jethro when they met. They asked each other of their welfare. And that's right and proper, isn't it? We ask how we are doing, how they are doing. But most of all, to talk of spiritual things. To be known for our godly conversation. And we see that in Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You see, it goes hand in hand. This awe of God, this respect, and then speaking. And the Lord hearkens to such. And a book of remembrance is written. They spake often. It's good to speak of the Lord on the Lord's Day. Before communion, also, and after communion as well. But then in the week, seek to engage in godly conversation. Even if it's something like this, I was helped through that verse today. The Lord spoke to me. Godly conversation. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, Christians, when they meet together, should use holy conference or this conversation. A good Christian has not only the law of God in his heart, but also in his tongue. Now consider these two, they were on a journey and they were talking together. They were walking and they were communing. Yes, they were sad, as we will note in a moment, but they were talking of the things that had happened concerning particularly the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to talk on the journeys we make. And we have that encouragement in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And we note there those particular words, and when thou walkest by the way. And that's what these two were doing on the road to Emmaus. Now these two were sad when they were talking. But they were talking. And there's a lesson. We know times of sadness, even on the Lord's Day. In a congregation, one can be knowing great joy in the soul, in the hour of worship. But another one, yes, they're looking to the Lord, but they know that sorrow. They're cast down. And we do know times of sadness, even on this day of rejoicing. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's our purpose, isn't it? But we can know sadness. And the Lord knows, as we note there in verse 17, he has a concern when we are sad through the week, but also on his day. They were sad, but they were still talking. We may be sad, but still seek to talk of the things concerning God's word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Jesus says to them in verse 17. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He reasons with them. He asks them. Now their conversation was of spiritual things, but he knew they were sad. And the Lord knows. We may be reasoning, talking, but he knows the heart. He knows if we're sad. It may be we're talking of what he has done or some promise in the word of God, but there's sadness within. He knows that he has a concern and he desires to warm the soul through his word and through his spirit. Be thankful for him who looks on in our sadness and seeks to stir us and support us and strengthen us, that we might know further benefit in reasoning over the things of Scripture. Well, these two, they were walking. They were sad. Are you sad at this present time? But you're still talking of spiritual things. Well, just consider, they were talking. Verse 14, they talked together of all these things which had happened. It's good to talk of the things that has happened concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But then further, of other things concerning him. He's alive, isn't he? He's on the throne. Our faith is not in vain. He's appeared in heaven for us. Oh, talk of him and the word. They were talking. Talk of him who is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We find ourselves in awe, do we not? He's eternal. What a comfort to consider that he is eternal. That brings great comfort. Talk of his love, his grace. Talk of his incarnation, that he came into the world to redeem. What a blessing to think back. He came on a mission of mercy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We should talk of his incarnation. That he came into this world. He who was rich became poor. Oh, what mercy that he came, that he took human nature. Talk of his earthly ministry. We can think of the Beatitudes. What help and blessing one knows through going through those Beatitudes, those pronouncements of blessing. Talk of what he did for poor sinners here upon earth, how he opened the eyes of the blind, he healed the sick, how he comforted people. That can be a help, can it not? Talk of what he did here upon earth in redeeming. Talk of his sacrificial love at Calvary. We've already thought this morning in heaven and in the heavenly world to come, when heaven and earth will be one, we'll be talking of his love. Worthy is the Lamb that is slain. We don't have to wait till then. Talk of Calvary. And not just in an academic way, but in a heart way. Talk of his love to you. Be amazed at what he has done for you. Talk of his mercy. Consider afresh that he so loved you and he thought of you and he desired your happiness. As he was there in those dying moments, as we see in the Psalms. Talk of his death, that he died for us. But then talk of his resurrection. He's alive. You know, that can bring great comfort and strength to the soul. To think of him who's alive. Our faith is not in vain. We may be going through a difficult time. But then to look up. And to consider him who is on the throne. Death could not keep him. He's the victorious one, and he's at your side. He will see you through. Talk of his ascension, that he went as a forerunner to heaven, and therefore you will follow, dear child of God. He went up, so one day you will be taken up by the angels to heaven. Talk of his reign. Oh, that he's on the throne. We can look at the news and become cast down. A certain doctor told a minister recently, don't keep looking at the news. At the very most, just twice a day. We must pray for what's going on, but we can get so cast down if you look at the news too much. Good advice from that doctor. Be mindful so you can be prayerful. So you're up to date, but don't look at the news too much. Look up. Talk of him who reigns. He's over all, and he will bless his cause. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Look up to him who said that, who reigns. Think of his excellencies, his grace, his love, his mercy. Consider him, consider, talk of how he deals with you, how he comforts you. That can be a help to another believer. He spake to me through the word the other day and I was lifted. Talk about him. Talk about God and his word. How he has blessed you. Talk about heaven. We're pilgrims and strangers here, aren't we? Talk about your home in heaven. We're thankful, aren't we, for the places we live in here upon earth. But our home is in heaven. Talk of heaven. Talk of the Lord's Supper. And the benefits one receives. It's a means of grace whereby we grow and we enjoy spiritual fellowship. We think of him and we enjoy spiritual fellowship. Hear these two on the road to Emmaus. On the Lord's Day, the first Christian Sabbath day, they were talking. And we're known for it, aren't we? For they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. It's a foretaste of heaven, isn't it? And the Lord delights. And with that in mind, we close with this third point. Jesus drew near. It all flows here, as we will consider. Verse 14, they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and dwelt with them. He drew near. Now he drew near because he knew they were sad. He drew near to help them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to direct them. And the Lord draws near in a spiritual way through his word. To do likewise for us, dear brothers and sisters. But let's consider in closing, they were talking and Jesus drew near. They were walking on the way and they were communing and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Dear brethren, Jesus loves to see his people talking together, worshipping together. He loves to draw near to them. Yes, we're thankful he draws near on other occasions when we're not so heavenly minded, but he so delights to draw near to us. When we're talking over the things of the word, when we're talking concerning him. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson. Good discourse will be a means to bring Christ into our company. When good discourses are prompted, Jesus Christ draws near. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now here was clear further evidence of the proof of his resurrection. He was walking with them. They were talking and he was walking with them. How the Lord in a spiritual way delights to walk with his people, particularly when they're talking of him. Now it's interesting, these two to begin with did not recognize the Lord. Mary earlier in the day thought our Lord to be the gardener. She thought him to be the gardener. She didn't recognize him until the Lord said, Mary. He called her by name. Her heart was stirred. And instead of tears of sorrow, now there were tears of joy. He revealed himself to her. These two, they didn't recognize him yet, but we know who it is. There are times, though, when we don't recognize the nearness of Jesus. We gather with the saints, but we don't recognize his nearness, though he has promised to be in the midst. It happens. We're only human, aren't we? But here, Jesus was with them, and he reasons with them. Here's communication between them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? He talks to them. And the Lord delights to talk to us through his word. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And they were on a journey. We're on a journey home. And the Lord is with us. At times we may not sense his presence, but be assured he is with us. You talk of him. The Lord delights to hear you talking of him, for he delights in your fellowship. He comes to dine, as we see in the third chapter of Revelation, a time of dining, so he knocks at the door of your heart. It's time now. As a child, I used to love to hear my mum say, it's tea time. Tea time, Aaron. And I come quickly through. How quickly do I respond to Jesus when he knocks at the door of my heart? It's not always as it ought to be, but he wants to be with you and talk with you. He comes near. In the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. How amazing that is. Jesus, the great and glorious King, wants to hear you, for he loves your fellowship. That's amazing, isn't it? Are we not in awe of him? But he wants to speak to us, and he wants to hear us. Let me hear thy voice. And he says to the churches, let me hear thy voice. Collectively, talk to me as you talk together of me. He draws near. He draws near in time of sorrow. He draws near in time of trial. Jesus himself drew near. Precious times. He loves you, and so he draws near. Oh, value your Saviour. Have a greater awe of him, and be much engaged in heavenly conversation, particularly concerning him. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, how blessed we are that the Saviour wants to hear our voice. And we would respond, we love thee, we adore thee, we are in awe of thee. Why should thou want to listen to us? But we respond and we give thee the praise. Help us on the journey, blessed Lord, come near again and again. We thank thee that thou in a general way art with us all the time, but there are those special times when thou dost draw near. And we note there that godly conversation is a means of drawing thee near, for thou dost delight. Help us, O Lord, to talk more of thee. Maybe just a word there and here, but to talk more of thee, on the way home to heaven, we pray. On the sad days, help us to talk of thee. When we don't sense thy nearness, help us to still talk of thee. O Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. Prepare us further to come around the table. May Jesus be precious. Lord, we pray, have all the glory. Forgive us our sins. Bless thy word to thy people today. Here and up and down this country and around the world, draw us nearer to thee, and may sinners be drawn for the first time to the feet of Jesus. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our final praise is Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Verses 16 to the end, all that fear God, come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. It's really interesting, the Lord speaks to us through this praise. But we also offer it in praise to him. Such words of praise here. Oh, that fear God, come hear or tell what he did for my soul. I with my voice unto him cried, my tongue did him extol. Psalm 66, verses 16 to the end of the psalm, and the tune is St. Bernard. O that fear God, come hear or tell what he did for my soul.
O that fear God, come hear or tell what he
unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen.